Hey, I told you to move the beans.
All you have to do is move it.
Move the beans.
Hey, move the beans.
M-O-V-E.
This is the Move the Beans podcast. Stories of ordinary habits that have extraordinary results. Here's your host, Dan Abaticola.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Move the Beans podcast. Stories of ordinary habits that have extraordinary results. We are at episode 28, and this episode is brought to you by the coronavirus. I just figured, why not? It's impacting everything in the world, so it might as well sponsor episode 28 here at the Move the Beans podcast. This is our last of our virtual check-ins with former guests to see how they're adjusting with the new rules of life, with the shelter in place and lockdowns. We have in our lineup today Mr. Kyle Dolan, NFL agent, Officer Phil Murata, everyone's favorite baseball trainer, instructor, Jim Donovan, and peasant boy himself, hello, Mr. Colin Urbanek. It was great catching up with the boys and see how they're doing and seeing that they're all healthy and safe and all the families are doing well. And I know you're going to enjoy the conversation. So let's jump into our discussions with the fellas. Enjoy. Hey, we are kicking it off this episode with NFL agent guest from episode 6, Mr. Kyle Dolan. How you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good. Yeah, really good. Everybody, first of all, everybody healthy in your house? Everybody's well?
Yeah, we're fortunate. Everybody's healthy. Everyone back in Syracuse, New York, where I came from, my family's healthy. So yeah, everybody doing good.
Everyone's doing good. Good. So we've been checking up. This is the third episode. We're checking up on some former guests and see how they're doing and what they're up to. And, you know, in the mix of this crazy thing that we're going through, the whole world is just seeing how they're adapting and how they're adjusting with maybe some habits and maybe developing some new habits out of that. But so first and foremost, are you working from home?
Yeah, I am actually. So my whole company, the entire league really, so teams, agents, everyone has been forced to work from home. And, you know, it's I'm sure we'll get to it. It's kind of interesting because I don't feel like we've been any less productive. It's been pretty rewarding so far.
Yeah. So you said your whole company is working from home. So are you just, you know, reaching out to all your clients just through Zoom or Skype, or what are you guys doing, or how are you doing it?
Yeah. So it sort of depends. So some of the time I'm calling individuals when it's, you know, something that I need to talk to with one guy, whether it's his individual contract status or whatever it might be. And then we've held a couple Zoom meetings, primarily for our rookie class that's up in this draft coming up in a week and a half here. And sorry, I don't know when this is going to air, but when we're filming, it's a week and a half.
Yeah.
And we, as a company, we're connecting over Zoom. So kind of been a mix. And then I FaceTime my guys a lot just because I like seeing the family. So.
Okay. So at the time we're recording this, we're about a week and a half from the draft. And so this will drop in about a week. So we'll be a few days away from the actual draft. So how's the draft looking differently this year for the NFL compared to previous years?
You know, it's funny. I think teams are going to see how agents live a little bit, where they're not allowed to go to the office where they got 30 guys in a war room kind of figuring out every decision and what to offer on drafting guys and that sort of thing. So as far as I'm concerned, look, I have to do it from home. Most years I do the draft with one of my partners, either at his house or my house, but I'll do it from home. He and I will link up on Zoom, and the draft itself will look very similar to years past, with the exception that the process has been different. Meaning we've had in any other year, players would be working out for teams that would come to see them on campus, or going to visit teams and meeting with the coaches and doing interviews and that sort of stuff. This year, that's all taken place over Zoom. So the process has had some new twists and turns, I would say. But all in all, I honestly don't anticipate the draft being that different unless there's a team or two who can't figure out how to operate their computer.
That could be with those old-time NFL guys.
I know. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like a joke, but it's not. Like it could bring the league to a standstill.
Was there like an NFL combine this year or what?
There was. So we had the combine. So I would say we made it through half of the draft process.
Okay.
We made it through the East-West Shrine Game and the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl, which are the first All-Star games. Then the second one is a Senior Bowl, which is kind of the highest end All-Star game. And then about a month and a week, so 5 weeks after that, we had the Combine. And then we had 1 week of Pro Days. And actually, I was fortunate that my only player who was not in the Combine, his Pro Day happened to be scheduled in one of those earlier time frames. So we made it through a week of those. And then the day after my client's Pro Day is when the NBA kind of got rocked by this stuff. And
I
think maybe the NFL would follow suit. And the league, the NFL did it kind of piecemeal where we had to cancel some stuff we had planned and not every team was on the same page. But honestly, they did a good job. They got their act together really quickly, got everyone on the same page. And yeah, so again, we made it through half the process. Guys didn't get to do individual workouts. Most guys didn't get to do any visits, but I think the league's done a good job making the most of that situation.
And by this time, you know, in the college career or, you know, graduating, these teams kind of know the players already pretty well, right?
Yeah, I would say for the most part. I do think you lose something by missing those individual workouts and visits because, you know, for example, a guy might be better off as a DN for his college team who keeps his weight low and is able to get to the quarterback. And you know his future is by gaining 20, 30 pounds and rushing the passer inside, maybe a little more of a nickel pass rusher. And when you don't have these workouts and physicals, if your guy put on that weight and did it in a healthy way, they don't necessarily get to see that. So guys who are a little different than maybe they ended their college career, I think they get hurt a bit, but I don't think the first two rounds are going to look any different.
Okay. So do you have how many potential guys you have in the mix this year to be drafted?
Yeah. So as an agency, we signed 10. And as an individual, I signed 2. So I have two guys. I have an offensive lineman out of Ball State, Danny Pinter, and a defensive end out of Northwestern, Joe Gaziano.
Okay. So you're still going after those offensive linemen.
I love the I love the ethos.
I remember that from episode 6. Absolutely. Yeah. You're always grinding in the mud there. That's awesome.
That's what I'm all about. And I'd have it no other way.
So what kind of, you know, different habits that maybe you had to switch up a little bit that you were used to doing before in your personal life and preparing for a day's work, but now you're kind of doing things differently from home. I mean, a lot of people have developed some really cool habits because we've been forced to do so. So how does your day look differently from obviously when you went into the office as opposed to home now?
Yeah, it's interesting. So in terms of habits, I think one thing that I had to discipline myself on is, in a way, it's easy when you go to the office to punch into work and then punch out of work at the end of the day. Now, when you're home, you're kind of not working all day, but in a more real sense, you're working all day, right? There's no time at which you're not replying to emails, replying to texts, doing that sort of thing. So I really disciplined myself into from 9 to 5, other than when I take lunch, I'm sitting there in front of my computer and I keep my phone right next to me and I respond instantly to anything that comes in and I'm working for the most part, but it's more about the mentality of I'm plugged in. But then at 5 or 5:30, depending, I go downstairs to, you know, hang out with my wife and kids and I plug my phone into the wall and check it maybe every 20, 30 minutes. More so just to drive home mentally to myself, like, okay, now's when you're doing, you know, the other part of life. Now's when you're husband and dad, because I know my personality type and I would trend toward, oh, you're just working the whole time, right? It wouldn't be extended vacation with you're periodically working. It's more, well, if you're home in front of your phone, yeah, you should be answering it every second.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, totally. No, so is it like a different mindset also? Like, do you get up at the same time? Are you like, are you doing a fitness routine? I mean, you're trying to stay engaged in all areas, or how are you doing it?
I try with the fitness stuff. I walk about 4 or 5 miles a day with my kids now. They're, you know, riding their bikes or scootering the whole time. But I wouldn't say that's as much a routine or regimen as it is just survival with the kids. I will say, staying at home, I do try to. Another thing that it's funny when you're at the office or when you're going in every day, you have such a natural schedule or flow to your day that you don't have to be disciplined on. When you're at home, still doing breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and not just like, oh, hungry, eat, is to me, that is a bit of a discipline where I'm not going down at 2 p.m. I'm thinking, okay, maybe I can grab a coffee, but I need to wait until, you know, dinner time to eat dinner.
Yeah. Well, I've heard like, you know, the old freshman 15, when kids go away to college, I heard like there's a new thing now. It's the Corona 15 because everybody's gaining weight. You're just around food. Yeah. You're just around food constantly and everybody's just eating and you just, you know, there's not much else to do if you're home, you know? So it's if
for
the food's
sure.
there.
You want to hear something pathetic? I've lost 2 pounds because I think I eat fries at lunch too often. So not fries are not an option at lunch every day. Somehow lost weight despite, this sedentary lifestyle.
So your wife's not grilling up the fries?
No. Yeah. She's not doing the fries. We're sandwiches and carrots kind of people.
Nice. Wait, how old are your kids again?
5, 4, 2, and 3 months.
Yeah. So you're totally in survival mode. So how's the 3 month old? I knew that you guys were expecting
He's great. He's great. He's happy, healthy, huge, which, I mean, when you have three older siblings, gives him a little durability, I would say.
Yeah, totally. You see offensive lineman in his future, maybe?
I'm hoping. Because if he's a receiver or running back, I can't rep him. But if he's an old lineman, I got a shot.
Definitely. Just keep on feeding him some French fries at lunch. I think so here's the most important question for you. Is this, you know, the way the NFL is set up and how we're kind of launching into the season? Or maybe, do you see any kind of delay maybe in the NFL season? Are they talking about that at all or no?
You know, you hear both sides of it from talking to teams. And near as I can tell, I think right now the plan is let's wait until late May. And then we'll reevaluate and make a decision then. One thing the league is doing that I do have a lot of respect for is saying, look, there has to be competitive balance. So if 80% of the country is doing fine, and by doing fine, I mean they're no longer in shelter in place or whatever their state is calling it, we're not going to allow any team to do it until every team can do it. So look, it could get delayed, the start of it. The off-season program has already been impacted, but I do give the league a lot of credit. I think they've been very proactive in making sure that they have programs in place for guys, and they've been very, and I know this is a criticism sometimes, but they've been very communicative. They've let us know everything that's going on, and at the end of the day, they don't know any more than you and I about stand 2 months from now. So I think they're doing a good job kicking the can down the road and trying to figure it out.
So here's a really dumb question. Do the players still get paid? Or do they get played per game, right? Or do they just...
No, so that's not a dumb question. It's a great question. As per usual, Dan.
Thank you. I was patting myself on the back and blowing my horn. I had my mic off.
No, so here's where it's a good question in the NFL. Yeah. There are different kind of buckets of pay guys get. So... Okay. If guys just signed as a free agent and they have a signing bonus, right? If they were able to take a physical prior to this whole madness happening, they'll get paid for their signing bonus. Okay. Other guys, it has to wait until they're able to take a physical. Guys who might have, for example, I have one player who has a large workout bonus because right now we're in the off season where the teams pay a per diem essentially of almost $1,000 a week for working out. Well, certain teams, in particular Green Bay and a couple others, they make those numbers much higher than the minimum. Take it out of salary. There's a whole other discussion on why that can be a good thing for your player. Those guys will get paid thanks to the virtual offseason that's occurring over the next couple of weeks, provided they participate and attend. Now, when we get to the actual season, kind of the meat of the, you know, what everybody's paid and the meat of the schedule, if there aren't games, guys aren't getting paid. What'll happen there, that'll have to be collectively bargained between the Players Association and the league. I know in basketball, those discussions are ongoing, you know, because we have a basketball division as well. Those discussions are ongoing, trying to figure out to what extent to withhold salary and what to put into escrow. And those are interesting discussions. But yeah, that's going to occur in everyone.
Wow. So is this going to affect the, you know, just with the, maybe the late start or just how things have gone crazy a little bit at the beginning here? how do you see fantasy football rolling out? We have a lot of fantasy football players, I'm sure.
No, it's a good, again, a great question. It's interesting. So I'm no fantasy expert, but I'll say this. If I were drafting a fantasy team for this season, I would undervalue rookies immensely because they're getting so much less time in a team's offseason program. Rookie developments can occur virtually. All these things that I think have helped get guys up to speed, those aren't occurring. The other thing is guys who signed as free agents this year, I would probably undervalue them as well because they're not going to have time to get as many repetitions with the coaching staff they're going to play.
Wow. That, I wasn't even expecting that, but that was a golden nugget right there for all you fantasy football players. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, dude.
I did come in second in my league last year. So
Is Angel in your league or did he come in?
No, Angel's not. Angel and I were in a league a couple years back, but it kind of...
Oh, okay. Actually, Angel actually pays me $1,500 a year or a week to work out.
Does he really?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he'll deny it, but he totally does. He'll slip me cash every Friday. Just he says because I'm looking so... What's the word he uses? Swall. That's what he says.
Well, I get it. I've seen you. I get that.
Yeah, totally. Okay, here's my final question. I really need to know. What about my new team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? How are they going to look this year?
This year. So I heard they have a new quarterback.
Dude, that's why they're my team now. Yeah.
No, I love Tampa Bay. I'll say that. I know we talked last time I was on about, you know, which front offices do you like? Which ones don't you like? That sort of thing. And Tampa Bay is full of honest, smart, hardworking people. So I think, you know, I don't know Tom Brady personally, but I do think he could not have aligned himself with better people. We have a couple clients down there, Mike Evans, Dakota Dixon, Ryan Jensen. So that's certainly a team I'll be pulling for. They have all the tools at their disposal. Tom has all.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I do think they have the right people in place to figure it out.
Awesome. Well, thanks. Thanks for the tips and thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, Dan.
And so for all you fantasy football players out there, do not pick rookies or maybe wait till the later rounds or maybe even free agents too. So you heard it here first at the Move the Beans podcast. Kyle, thanks so much for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Like I said, anytime.
Okay. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
End of part one. Intermission.
It's intermission time.
This is the Move the Beans podcast.
Hey, we are with episode number 9 guest, Officer Phil Marotta. How you doing, Officer? What's going on, man?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm doing good. You're healthy. All the kids are good. Everything is good.
Yeah, we're all doing well so far.
Good. Well, we're doing a few episodes. We're just checking in on all the former guests to see how they're doing and how they're adjusting to this coronavirus craziness and the worldwide pandemic. But I thought, you know, you would be super interesting to talk to because you're still out in the real world, kind of rubbing shoulders with the public and kind of your job doesn't stop no matter what's going on. So I thought that would be kind of interesting. But first, you sound really clear, really good. Where is your home studio at? Where are you at right now in your house?
I'm actually sitting up in my bedroom on a laptop.
Just in your bed?
Yeah.
Nice. That is sexy, Phil. I don't know.
I got clothes on, by the way.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's a bummer. Okay. So, but you sound really clear. Did your kids have to set this up for you or were you good?
No, I did it all myself.
Really? Wow. Congrats, Phil. Because some of the older folks, like my age and some of the other, they've been having a little bit of trouble. The younger guests have been like zipping right through it, but that's pretty impressive. I'm pretty impressed by that ability you have. So first of all, you guys went down and grabbed Alex from school, right?
Yeah. Basically, the past week was supposed to be spring break for my little ones. We were going to go to Tennessee and kind of hang out in Smoky Mountains. Obviously, that got canceled.
Yeah.
And then Alex calls me up and says, well, school's kicking me out March 29th. Come and get me.
Yeah.
So we had to drive down there and go pick him up.
The whole family go or just you and your wife?
Just me and my wife.
Okay, yeah. So was it good? I mean, like easy sailing down there or what?
Oh, yeah. It was very easy sailing, but it kind of sucked in a way because we couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't stop at a restaurant. You couldn't really do much but eat fast food. So
Yeah. Just drive through.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and probably not the greatest way to end your freshman year of college. Kind of a bummer for all the freshmen. But what's his attitude been?
Oh, he's upset. Yeah. He wanted to stay down there. He really did.
Sure. Wait, okay. Let's go through Alex's options. Stay down on campus in Texas, thousands of miles away from mom and dad, or come back to Officer Phil Murata's home. Yeah, I can see why he's upset, Phil.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Yeah, totally. So, but that's normal. I think every kid, man, is experiencing like like I said, probably seniors in college, seniors in high school, like I have one, Sam, but no, freshmen in college, I really thought that that would be a bummer because you finally get away, you wait all your life, and then you get accepted to school, you're doing well, you're actually going to classes, you make it all this time, and then they say, hey, we're cutting you short. That's kind of a bummer. So it's a time of adjustment for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. So, okay, so tell me a little bit about your job. Like, you're a county sheriff, and so your work doesn't stop. How has it been since all this has been happening? Is it, you know, business as usual, or are you doing some different things? What's going on there?
Basically, it's business as usual.
Yeah.
You know, I've been a law enforcement officer for 22 years, so I've been through the whole Y2K thing,
okay.
The swine flu, the SARS, you know, the bird flu,
yeah.
All that kind of stuff I've been through. So this is no different to us, and as well as law enforcement. We're used to this, and we are working. We are not changing anything.
Yeah.
Actually, something came out today regarding that they want everyone of the patrol officers to wear those masks when they go on calls.
Oh, okay.
So that's the only thing that has been changed with the sheriff's office.
When you go on calls or just always when you're on the clock or just when you go and like kind of meet the public?
When you meet the public.
Okay, okay. Because I heard there was something, I heard there might be some kind of talk down the road that like, if you leave the house, you got to wear one of those masks. Is that coming true? Or what do you think about that? Or did you hear anything about that?
Well, for our department-wise, no. They okay. encourage you to wear a mask when you deal with the public. They're not making yeah. you do it. They're encouraging you to do it.
Okay.
Last week, we had a homicide, and I got called into work to work that. Obviously, I'm not going to interview a witness with a mask on. That's just, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
We all got called in. We had to interview, you know, suspects, witnesses, and, you know, we're in a small 10 by 10 room. You know, the thought never crossed my mind about, you know, this virus or anything like that.
Yeah.
The thought was, hey, we have a homicide. We got to, you know, get to the bottom of this. We got to figure out what happened. And it was just, boom. We all just worked well together. And
yeah.
there was no thought about, you know, the coronavirus at all.
You have such muscle memory when you do your job. You probably, like you said, you didn't even think of it. You just, you know, there was a murder. You want to figure out what's going on. Because those first, what do they say, like, first 12 hours are really huge, like really important or so, or what?
Yeah, they're real crucial, yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool that you just kind of jump right in and you're not even thinking of it. You're just totally, okay, I got to do my job and this is how I do it. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's scary, but cool. I'm totally impressed by that. That's awesome. So as far as like, you know, they want you to wear a mask, but any other habits that you're picking up personally, whether it's on the job or just at home, like, you know, you have kids, I have kids, and are you doing anything special? Are they getting all crazy indoors, or are you letting them kind of get out for a little bit on the driveway or whatever? What's going on there?
Yeah, well, one thing I can tell you, as I wash my hands a lot now, I washed yeah. my hands about 6 or 7 times already today. And
yeah.
the only thing I did was with the Juul.
Yeah.
You know, and I did some work around the house, but
yeah.
But yeah, we're watching a lot of movies. You know, we're outside in the backyard. We have a big backyard. We did running mm-hmm. bases yesterday. You know, the girls were writing, you know, chalk on the sidewalk. You know, I got their bikes all, you know, set to go for the nice weather.
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot of family stuff. So,
yeah. And I think that's what I'm seeing a lot, obviously, on the streets, but also I'm hearing a lot of people are just doing more family stuff. And I guess if there's a bright side to all this, you know, just it's bringing families together a little bit more and like maybe a little quicker than, you know, what we did if we're, you know, heading to summer and stuff in spring. How are the kids adjusting with like e-learning and stuff at home?
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful.
An honest parent. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
My wife is with them at least 6-7 hours a day working with them.
Wow. Okay.
With this e-learning. It's the girls. They're in junior high.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not clear on what you're supposed to do, and it's hard.
Yeah. How's the school been like kind of reaching out if you're having issues? Are they pretty responsive, or what's that look like?
They'll respond to emails, but for the most part, my wife's just trying to figure it out herself. She's not really going through school.
Okay. Yeah. Parents are frustrated. They're trying to figure it out. And as much as we want to say, okay, this is your job as a school, but, you know, I don't think they really planned for this kind of, you know, scale of like e-learning for this long. So, I mean, I think at one hand, okay, that's do your best to kind of figure it out and help families and help parents. But then on the other hand, it's like, this is kind of over and above anything that you can even dream of. Maybe, I don't know. So maybe a little grace and a little slack could be given to them too. So it's just that, you know, everybody's just kind of buckle down and try to figure it out. I think in all areas of life, really. Right.
Yeah. You're right on that.
Yeah. Okay. So life goes on. You had a, you know, figure out a homicide. anything personally besides like washing your hands? Because I found that like, because I'm a big like weird germaphobe. I'm like always washing my hands. I have like wipes in my car. When I go to get gas, I normally have a wipe in my hand. I'm doing all that stuff anyway. So this is like right up my alley. I'm like, people are trying to catch up to me, what I usually do anyways. But what I've noticed, like if I go into my office building and I'm always washing my hands, I noticed like the hot water, because like sometimes you turn on the hot water in recent, you know, like before all this, it takes a while for the hot water to get hot in the past. And now you turn on the hot water and the hot water comes out instantly. It's like almost like scalding hot water. So that tells me that people are washing their hands more because they're using the hot water. It's ready to roll. The hot water is not like before I had to wait to get hot. So I think you're doing it. I think more people are doing it. But just any other things that you're doing on a, you know, habit basis that you're kind of like, okay, I got to do this differently, or you're more mindful of it. Like even at shopping at Jewel, like what does that look like differently? What are you doing there?
Well, I'll tell you, I went to Jewel's today and, you know, I was hesitant on putting a mask on because no one else I saw going into the store had a mask on.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to be the oddball. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to put it on. I'm just going to do it. You know, so I had the mask on, the gloves on, and I went into Jewel and people, I mean, I would say it was about 70-30. 70% of the people did not have masks. 30% had masks. So
yeah.
I was kind of surprised, to be honest with you. I was very surprised.
Yeah, I was there earlier today, and I would say there's, and I don't know about the percentage, but there was quite a few people with masks. I don't wear one. I mean, I heard so many reports like, that doesn't even help it with this kind of thing. It's flying in the air and it can get, you know, who knows what's really, and I'm not going to say like, well, you shouldn't wear a mask or I should or whatever. You just kind of live your life and you got to be comfortable. If you're comfortable wearing a mask, then wear it. If you're not, then don't wear it if you don't want to, I guess. It's America, right? I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm
going to say. When I go to work tomorrow, I will not be wearing a mask. I can't. It bothered me throughout Jewel. I can't.
I ran into some guy at Jewel today. I was talking to him and he had it wrapped around his ears. And then as he bent over and like, we were in the pickle aisle, in the olive aisle. And so as he bent over, the glasses weren't fitting right because of the string around his ears. And so his glasses kept on falling off when we were talking. And he didn't really want to wear the mask. His wife was like making him wear it. And then at the third time the glasses fell off, they like broke on the floor. And then he basically just kicked the things under a shelf and kind of went on his way. He was like so ticked off at the fact that he had to wear this mask and now his glasses broke. So a lot of people are frustrated. It's just a weird kind of time of adjustment for people. And I guess we're trying to just make the best of it and kind of move on and hopefully it's over soon. What do you think about, are you hearing anything from a law enforcement level? Any good news, any hope down the road? I mean, you guys may hear some things that maybe the public doesn't hear.
No, actually we're kind of kept in the dark about a lot of stuff. Our motto is business as usual. If we act differently, the public sees that we act differently, then that's going to cause a big panic.
Yeah.
So we will never, ever say we're not responding to a call. If I have to go out and interview somebody for any kind of cases I'm working on, you know, I'll ask them, have you been feeling ill? Are you sick? If they say no, I'm going to either go out and interview them or have them come in and interview. We're just doing business as usual. We're not getting any kind of information from the government or the local government at all regarding what's going on.
Okay. So you guys haven't gotten like, because I see all these reports of like, you know, like Hummers moving into like certain areas and towns and stuff. You guys, that doesn't, you know, they don't give you any kind of information of why that's happening, or it's probably just natural transportation for this kind of stuff. And now people are more hyped up about it and they're taking videos and pictures of it, but you guys don't hear anything like that.
No, nothing at all.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good, man. I'm glad you're doing well and just kind of business as usual. Continue to stay safe and take precautions. We just, again, wanted to check in with all of our guests. And I know, you know, as we kind of build this podcast and I see the numbers of listeners to each podcast and how it kind of grows week by week, even like older podcasts like yours, episode 9, and now we're on like episode, I think I'm recording like 27, 28 now already this week. So, but I see the numbers continue. So people find the podcast and then they just start checking off the different episodes. And so I thought it'd be interesting just to kind of check back with as many guests as possible who wanted to do it. And just to kind of give our listening audience a heads up on, hey, this is a real person. He was on the episode once, but he's still doing life, still doing his thing. And especially for your occupation, a police officer, I'm sure it's pretty interesting for a lot of people to kind of hear what's going on. So it's good to hear that it's just business as usual. You're safe, you're healthy, you got your family back there, and continue to just staying healthy and wish you nothing but the best, Bill. Thanks for checking in with us, man.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Hey, we are here with Jim Donovan, a guest from episode 19 and 5. Hey, Jimbo, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Danny. How are you, brother?
Good, 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 good. Thanks for jumping on real quick with us.
No problem.
Yeah, we want to see, as I've been saying, how everyone is doing, all our former guests. You know, we're in a worldwide pandemic. No matter your age, no one's ever lived through anything like this thing before. So we're checking in on all our guests. And first of all, you're healthy. You're feeling good?
Yeah, except for the psychosomatic symptoms we battle on a daily basis. Yeah, so far, so good.
I have the cure for that. I'm Dr. Dan.
Oh,
just
yeah?
Turn off the news.
Seriously. That's a fact.
And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on or whatever. Just shut the news off and like start a new habit, like paint or start drawing or something or whatever. I don't even know.
No, you're exactly right.
So
yeah, for sure. It's been very interesting. I mean, we don't have a huge house and we've got both of our boys back in town. So
I was going to ask. Okay. Yeah. So you got both boys back in. Okay.
My landlord highly recommended a shutdown phase and I didn't disagree. I think it's the right thing to do. But obviously the lack of income is not fun, but I think it has opened the door to a lot of introspection and a lot of sort of, it's been contemplation time that I think is a long time coming. And I think I mentioned in one of the podcasts about wanting to do some writing and speaking at some point. And this whole thing has sort of nudged me in the direction of getting more serious about doing that just because of the fact that I think it's another way to build the business and increase the outreach that I can have and just sort of be a win-win situation.
Yeah. So you actually jumped into the question I was going to ask you, like, what habit have you developed? And you're actually like being productive. That's a great habit. And you're actually being productive with the mindset of building your business a little bit better.
Yeah. And just sort of reinvention to a degree and taking, you know, I'm lucky. I have a really strong base of customers and I'm trying to find, you know, really sort of find ways that I can serve them better and more completely. And then obviously reach others as well and try to build something that is a little more sustainable in off times such as this.
Yeah. I think no matter what business you're in, you're going to have to kind of think about your business in a little different way through this pandemic, and then even after when it's over, the way you do business is going to be completely different.
No question.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think from a family's perspective, you know, it's been great because I think we are trying to get a lot more streamlined in our operations financially. And I think it's going to end up being a good thing.
Yeah. And it kind of forces everyone to do that.
Absolutely.
Streamlining. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So the boys are back home. Karen's good, I assume.
Yeah, she is. Unfortunately, she's had she's had this little irritating cough that's, you know, no other symptoms around it. Because she was honest, she has not been able to work since.
Okay. And
because she caretakes for an elderly couple. So she's been on the sidelines as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's like, and it's almost like you get like one symptom, like you get a cough and then you start like WebMD in your mind because you see all this stuff on the news and you almost talk yourself into having it maybe.
Right. Right. Yeah. And with the, what seems to be a lack in testing availability, it's, you know, it'd be great if I or she could just go get tested, kind of see where we stand one way or another. And that way, cause she doesn't want to have to deal with the possibility that she infects an elderly couple.
And, oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's, you know, she just does not want that on her conscience. And she's just such a good person that wouldn't play well in her mind. So she'd rather be safe than sorry.
So Jack came back from California.
Yeah, yeah. Just, he just decided to be, he figured if this kind of thing's going to happen, he'd rather be here. And since he can, you know, his company is located here, that, you know, and although he's not going into the office, he's still working from home. But, yeah, he figured it's a no lose and be around family and kind of just a little more of a comfortable situation for him and for us, for that matter.
Yeah. So it sounds like this is a break that, you know, obviously no one really wants, especially for someone who runs their own business, because for you and your business, you basically need to put in the hours to make money.
Exactly.
And so obviously you would never do this like willingly, but it sounds like because you're being forced to do it, kind of making the best out of it and you're trying to be more productive if that's you know, possible to be more productive in this environment.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think I've tried to sort of re-engage my habit of journaling, and which has been great, and trying to read more. And I think one of the best things that's come out of this is the fact that we've had dinner as a family every night since, you know, this thing started. And we haven't, you know, since I work mostly in the evenings and weekends anyways, that was something that was rare for us. So this has been great.
Isn't that crazy? Like how many families do you think are actually having dinner together?
Yeah.
For the first time maybe ever or in a long time.
Hopefully a lot.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
but yeah, we're definitely taking advantage of it. And it's been, you know, Karen's been able to feel like, you know, her role as mom is reengaged, and that's great because as those kids start leaving the nest, that part of the identity tends to go with them. So it's been a nice little reengagement for her.
Yeah, believe me, I live with a mother hen, and she's absolutely in her heaven because all her little chickadees, but one is back. And I said, well, he already flew the coop. He has another hen telling him what to do these days.
Right. That's awesome.
So, yeah. So here's who I blame for all this, Jim. And I can only tell you about this. I blame the Houston Astros for all this. Yeah. Because the baseball gods are so ticked off. You're like, no baseball season.
There you go.
Yeah, you cheat.
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. See, you cheat in baseball and then you're like, oh, they fire the manager and a couple other people. And like none of the players, like wearing buzzers and all that and belts and whistles. And you don't even get in trouble. Like, okay, no baseball, no basketball, no whatever, hockey, no airplane flying, no driving around. Everybody's home and everybody's got to walk around with family and eat dinner as a family. There,
right.
Baseball gods have spoken.
That's your punishment.
Yeah. Basically, I blame it all on that. I blame it not on the baseball guys because they got to do what they got to do. Gods are God. Yeah. Right. It's the Astros' fault. They push.
That is a really interesting take.
They pushed the baseball gods into a corner and they were like, we're not going to be thrown at.
You've given us no choice.
Yeah. We're going to charge them out. Yeah. We're going to charge them out. So, Houston Astros, thanks so much for ruining everybody's life.
Yeah, seriously.
Financial. Sure.
Although, you know, in some ways, the camera's been taken off of them with all this other.
You think? They're probably popping champagne bottles like they won the World Series again. They're like,
and meanwhile, they've Major League Baseball, due to the fact that they're not playing a season, they're limiting the size of their draft, which is not ideal from Joe's perspective.
Oh yeah, I was about to say yeah.
So that's another question mark for him. And
how are they like limiting the draft?
So basically, they normally a draft on any given year is 40 rounds, and as of this moment, my understanding is that it's either going to be 5 rounds or 10 rounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that makes it tougher to get drafted. So we're just hoping that there is one of those 30 teams likes themselves a Joe D behind the plate.
It's kind of encouraging for me because I went in the fourth, and so I would have been drafted either way.
Right.
So I can't even relate to your subpar son.
That's true. You know, you're in rare air again. I mean, kind of like you with the bench press and everything else, and the weight rack.
Well, I'm definitely in rare air because we had nachos for dinner. And my studio, Jim, is I'm down in the corner of my basement underneath the tub. So, because I say this is my home studio, Studio 33 under the tub, because it's like literally under the tub.
Nice.
And I hung up a Oblivion blanket. It's like a really thick wool blanket, kind of as my studio wall. So it gets a little humid. And after nachos, it gets a little smelly in here. That's all I'm saying.
Excellent. Yeah. I have a similar office. My office is under the stairs in the basement. It's a cute little setup. I was one of my former clients' dad is a cabinet maker, and he put together this little under the stairs desk for me.
And that's where you're at right now?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's where I do most of my journaling and my work. And
you could do podcasting out of there, right?
I think I probably could.
Once you get rid of the AOL dial up, I think you'll be on.
I'm slowly but surely getting up to par. that.
We're recording this quick, like little segment. It's like almost 8 o'clock in the evening. I sent the invite out to Jim at like noon. And he's been trying. I think I drove past his house and he had like ComEd trucks digging up his front lawn. It took him a while to get on here.
Yeah. This whole technology thing, you know, I realize I've been spending way too much time in a cage with balls and bats and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, now before your landlord shut you down, were you still having steady like business and customers?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. And actually it was a new normal for me. And I had adjusted my procedures really pretty substantially from a social distancing perspective, you know, having the one client leave before the next can come in the building and spraying Lysol on the batting gloves and kids not picking up the balls and all sorts of hand washing and so forth. So I was pleasantly surprised. One of my clients who's a nurse gave me a nice shout out on Twitter for my new precautions that I was taking, cleanliness and so forth. So
as soon as you got the shout out, the Board of Health shut you down.
Exactly. Yeah. Boom. You're out.
Done. Baseball God, you made them mad, Jim.
Yeah. So,
but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So that was it. I mean, I was lucky. I had lots of people wanting to get in and go to work, and you know, it's been good because you know, part of what I do is counseling. You know, and I think some of the kids, even before the shutdown, you could tell there was some things that needed to be talked about. You know, they don't know if they're going to play their season. And they don't know kind of what that's going to mean. So
okay,
thankfully I was able to be there for some of them. And I'm actually looking into a remote, sort of a FaceTime. I've had a couple requests for FaceTime lessons where they hit into their net in their garage or basement or whatever. And I give them my thoughts, have a little conversation.
Oh, nice. So you keep the program rolling a little bit.
A little bit.
When season does kind of fire up, they're ready. They're not just kind of hopefully doing nothing. Yeah. If there is a season. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. We're even wondering if it's going to happen. So.
Yeah, I know. Those stinking Astros. Anyway, well, Jim, it's great talking to you. And thanks for jumping on. It is short notice and glad you're doing well and glad you're, and I knew you would be making some productive time of this free time that you had and like just kind of trying to nail it down and kind of see what's your next move and where you're going to go from here. So I knew that you being the thoughtful guy that you are, you would have that all your ducks in a row there as you kind of move forward. So anyways, I wish you nothing but the best. Obviously I love you to death and keep trying to figure it out and stay healthy and say hi to everybody in your family, man.
I sure will. And I hope that next time we talk, I'll have a lot more good news for you.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll be talking about baseball season.
Yes, exactly.
We'll do that. As soon as it fires up, we'll get going. So that'll be good.
Awesome.
All right, man. See ya. Thanks. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
Do you know what this is?
Move the Beans Podcast.
Hey, we are back with another guest, episode 17 guest, Mr. Colin Urbanek. I forgot what I was calling you on our last episode. First of all, how you doing?
I'm well, Dan. How are you today?
Good. Well, are you seriously well? You don't have the coronavirus? Everything is good? That's why we're just checking up on our guests.
I am well. Am I allowed to say what day it is? Like if I said Palm Sunday, would I get in trouble? Happy Palm Sunday. That means happy beginning of the whole week.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this is not going live today and it's probably going in a couple episodes, but yeah, it's Palm Sunday. That's right. Okay. You don't have to be shy about your faith.
Yeah. Happy Palm Sunday. I am doing well. I mean, outside of allergies, which depending on what region of the United States you live in, you've already hit allergy season and we are in the thick of allergy season in South Carolina. Oh,
so you have allergies too on top of everything else you've got going on?
Oh yeah, dude. It's bad. It's awful.
Geez. Okay. In our first episode that we recorded, like do the...
Hello. Hi.
Yeah. What did we end up calling that voice?
Peasant,
that's what I was trying
peasant
to...
Peasant voice? Medieval peasant voice. I actually had a student who just happened to like stumble upon this podcast. I don't know how, months after we recorded it. And he was like, hey, I watched it. And
you mean listen to it?
Listen to it.
Yeah.
And he was like, I listened to it and that peasant voice is hilarious. And like, I've known the student for like 4 years now. And like, first time he had ever heard of anything like that from me. So it's like, you know, maybe I need to break it out more.
You're not using your gifting, I don't think it sounds like.
Yeah. You know what? I have totally failed. I failed.
If you remember, Colin works for a Christian school down in what Carolina? Is it Eastern
South,
or Western?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. And so he's like kind of like the on-campus pastor for the school. So tell me a little bit. Obviously, you guys aren't in class, and tell me what's happening since they kind of called the shutdown. I'm assuming you guys aren't in school, right?
Yeah, no, we are not in school. We're doing all online schooling now. So like, you know, Zoom is probably making a killing at this point because of all the video conferencing. But you know, it's been really cool. A lot of these like online and like virtual mediums have like waived a lot of fees. A lot of like organizations like Kahoot, which is like an educational purpose, a lot of these guys have waived their fees so that teachers can continue to teach, right? And instead of, you know, districts having to pay out of pocket to continue to do what they're supposed to be doing. So it's been really cool to see how they've kind of rallied around that.
That's probably just good PR on top of, I mean, that they want to probably be good companies and kind of step up to the plate, but that's really good PR. I mean, you don't want to like a company charging you to take advantage of it while other people are not, you know?
At the end of the day, like they don't really, teachers don't really have a choice. Like these places don't really have a choice. So they could have been like, hey, high demand. Now we just supply, right? So
yeah.
They could have made a killing off of it, but they definitely went the high road and decided to supply it. But we've been doing a lot of our schooling through virtual means. And I'm assuming that most, you know, schools and districts across the United States, whether it's in a public or private district, are doing all the same thing. And it's actually been surprisingly refreshing in some ways. Like I'm kind of a glass half full kind of guy rather than like,
because you're peasant voice, you're always downer.
Yeah, I got to counteract the peasant mentality within me.
This is not going to work.
It's bullocks. I view these moments as kind of like a glass half full kind of opportunity, and I could probably get into that later. But from an educational standpoint, it's been cool to have like some conversations with students through like some digital means. And a lot of them have been like, I never really realized how much I miss school. And like,
oh wow,
the purpose that brings. And some of them were seniors, so like there's a little bit more like sentiment to that statement. Holy smokes, like I'm ending my senior year by not even being physically present at the building. You know, I don't get to reap any benefits from being at school. But you know, from our school's mission standpoint, which is to partner with, you know, Christian families, but from what we're trying to accomplish as far as like building relationship and discipling students, I've had a student that was actually texting me that was like, hey, I never really realized how much I looked forward to seeing faculty and staff and how much that means. So it's been kind of refreshing from that standpoint.
Yeah.
And
So they're missing school. So that's good.
That's,
so, I mean, like, obviously, and I'm glad that you're on here because I've been kind of just guessing and a couple other guests. I'm like, I wonder, you know, how prepared they were, because I don't think any school district or any school in particular was prepared for this type of shutdown like this quick. And so how quickly did you guys, you know, get up to speed with what you needed to do, and how much of a transition was it for you and all the other teachers on, you know, on staff there?
Actually, I would say we were pretty doggone prepared, honestly. Like we had this lady on staff, her name is Monica Reamer, and she's essentially...
I know Monica.
Oh yeah, you do? Yeah. Wait, go back to LT 85 days, huh?
Nope. I was lying. I don't know.
Yeah, I knew it. Anyway, so she's in charge of like our instructional stuff, like, and that's all across the school, like all grade. Mm-hmm. She's just like, she's a boss lady. She knows what she's doing. And she, when this kind of like caught wind that Corona or COVID-19 was headed our way, even before it really hit schools in the United States, and you had some schools that were shutting down, like before any university started shutting down, they were going essentially from department to department saying, hey, if we were to hypothetically speaking have to close down school for any given reason, whether it be snow days or, you know, like X, Y, or Z, would we be able to do online schooling? And we started to do some brainstorming as departments, as individuals as well. And so they really got that ball rolling, I would say well over a month before we even closed our doors. So,
oh, wow. Okay. You guys were like ready to go when it happened, kind of more so than maybe other schools too. So
I would say, I think teachers were pretty well prepared. I don't know if we really prepared our students as well, because you kind of, you know, students were asking me like left and right, even the week before we left, they were saying, and we didn't even know we were going to leave until we came back that weekend on Monday. We announced that, hey, you know, the governor of our state said, I'm closing down the schools. So the students were asking me, and I'm pretty conservative with those guesses because I don't want anyone to be like, well, you know, so-and-so said that we would be out of school. So I'm like, you know what, guys, if it were my money, I would say there's no way we're going to close. Like I could see maybe for a short period of time, but I guess I didn't really realize the scope and the magnitude of what was happening.
Yeah.
And I don't really watch the news, man. Like, I'm a millennial and I just think all news is evil and nobody is telling the truth. So I don't really watch it.
You know what? That's a very good, you're the first millennial I hear say that. So that's good. Cause it is, it's all crap.
Oh, it's all terrible in my mind. Yeah. Like everyone says that so-and-so is telling the wrong story. And at that point, you just kind of throw your hands up and you're like, I don't know who to believe. So, yeah. And at the end of the day, like, I don't find my hope. I don't find my like satisfaction by those means. So I'm not really disappointed when
I get wrong information.
Like it's people. So
but I don't want to interrupt you, but I just did. Who's the governor for South Carolina? Is it Boss Hogg? Who's the governor for South Carolina?
Is that a real name? That's not a real name.
Boss Hogg? You don't know who Boss Hogg is?
I have no idea.
That was the guy that wore the white suit on the Dukes of Hazzard.
What about them Duke boys and that girl?
No, it's not him. It might be closer to Joe Exotic than it is. If you know what that joke is.
Kind tiger of. Isn't he the tiger guy?
He's the tiger guy. No, our governor is Governor McMaster. But I would say as a school, we were pretty prepared.
Okay.
I think.
How are you? Shut up for just a second so I can talk on my own podcast. Okay, so your main thing is like discipling students, like meeting one-on-one. How have you had to kind of adjust and develop new habits to do that? Is it like, are you Zooming with students to like meet with them or what's going on?
Oh man, that's honestly really difficult. And I would say it's probably been in the last week that I've really started to kind of hit more of a stride. I think Tuesday I woke up and as much as I hate it, I need routine. And if I don't have routine, like I just kind of like flounder.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people.
But I don't make it through the day, but like I woke up Tuesday and I was like, I think I have a legitimate routine down. Like I wake up and I take my dog out and I try to get out for like a walk with her before I get going, kind of get my blood pumping. And when you're not going to a physical building to go work, like you have some mental, I think, barriers to overcome.
But anyway, yeah, you gotta adjust definitely and you gotta figure it out. So but you've been as it's this has been moving forward, you kind of figured it out in some areas.
I think so. I'm still trying to figure it out. Like I don't want to paint a picture that I've got this really figured out by any means. So anything I say from this point moving forward, just take what I say for a grain of salt because like I'm still trying to figure this out. But I think I've built a little bit more of a routine and like I finished up this week and I said, you know, I need to actually in my calendar go, I'm going to take from this time to be texting students.
Okay.
And, you know, our school has some policies on like, hey, don't be alone on Zoom and on video chats and stuff like that. So I'm a little bit more hesitant about doing like videos. Plus, I don't really think kids really love doing them in the first place.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't think they like doing that. So I think they'd much rather just like text. It's kind of,
I think they would probably like to do that with like a boyfriend or girlfriend, but not with teacher or Pastor Colin.
No, exactly. I mean, if I offered that, I have to have an agenda at the end of the day. Like kids don't want to just sit on Zoom with Pastor Colin for a few minutes. Like,
no. You know what you should do? This is just coming from a guy, you know, like kind of my history and stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
Kind of spice things up. Go on Amazon, order a rubber, like a horse head. $8.99 free delivery if you're a Prime member.
My God.
I got one recently and it's come in handy a lot for a lot of just things like shopping with a mask on.
No way. My
horse head on.
I like that.
Just get it. I'm telling you, it has so many different functions.
I do have a gorilla mask. Maybe I'll just wear that when
I wear something
just to get a few laughs from people.
Yeah, I would do that. Hey, so tell me about how's Lauren doing? Because she works in a hospital. She's a nurse. And so how is that? What's her anxiety level? And what's your anxiety level with her like coming in and out of the hospital and then back home? Like, how are you guys doing with that?
Yeah. So we're young and healthy. So I don't feel anxiety for ourselves really at all. Like I think Lauren has done a really good job of maintaining physical health, generally speaking, you know, getting enough sleep and rest and eating well and trying to get out and move as much as you can. You know, like we went first a few, like we go on walks all the time now just because I was reminded this week, like you don't just have a body, like you are a body. And so sometimes, especially within Christian circles, we just kind of neglect that. And I would say that like your physical health is really, really important. And the Bible actually cares a lot about that.
So anyway, do you see a lot of families walking around now lately?
Yeah. I mean,
everybody is. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the silver lining part, by the way. This is a side note that I think is really cool is I think people are being put in position to relearn how to do things that they should already normally know how to do. Like,
yeah.
I think people should learn, who don't know how to rest are trying to have to like learn how to do that. So
yeah.
And we talked about that in the podcast was like this rhythm of work and rest. And so people have thought that resting was like, I sit in front of the TV and I binge rather than I spend time with family or I go for walks or like I go connect with the creator of the universe. Like they've got to relearn how to do that because there's only so many episodes of Netflix you can watch. There's only so many video games you can watch. There's only so much time you can spend scrolling through Instagram or Snapchat before eventually you're like, I can't do that anymore.
It's forcing people to have interpersonal relationships.
Yes.
And you know, the things that I've probably been neglecting. And I don't know if you know this, but her name's Nicole, that gal I live with. Dang. You knew that? Or?
Yeah, the lady makes a really good gravy.
Yeah, she does. And her name is Nicole. I don't know if you knew that.
I've always wondered what that brunette lady's name was that just like wandered around your house and like somehow had like a lot of children with some person.
Yeah. So like, you used to just call her Gravy Lady, right?
Yeah, hey, Gravy Lady. That's what I would yell.
There goes your voices again. So anything is like a business picked up for Lauren at the hospital or what's going on? Oh, man.
Like it's crazy. So back to Lauren. I would say that she's doing a good job maintaining herself. I would say the greatest amount of stress, and we're in South Carolina. It hasn't hit us quite as much as you would say, like obviously places like New York or California, but like it's going to come. So
yeah,
and I think Lauren was on this boat a little bit earlier than most. That going into this, she was like, "We are not ready. We are not ready. We are not ready." And like, sure enough, you know, like. A lot of places that you're seeing this all across the board, but you're having a lot of places that are not providing the proper protection for their medical staff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, hey, use the surgical mask into a confirmed patient's room. And they're just not doing that. So Lauren has been kind of on this, the horn about, hey, we just really are not prepared. A lot of people are going to die if we are not taking this very seriously. And so I would say that just like, she is. A lot of nurses are probably in that same boat. I can't speak as much about doctors, but I know because nurses are in the room of the patients so often that they're actually the people who are getting the brunt of most of this. My brother-in-law is a doctor, so he was telling me like really Lauren is the one who's going to be exposed because he'll hop in for a few minutes to a patient's room and then hop out. But really, like it's the nurse who's in there every hour on the hour.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the nurses that are doing the dirty work. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes they're the ones who are having to reuse stuff that they're not supposed to be reusing, or they're not getting their own like protective equipment that they should be getting. And, you know, Lauren is fortunate because she's healthy and she's active and she's got a strong immune system and we're good. But again, like it's not us that we're concerned about. It's the other people that we would interact with, right?
If
Lauren gets sick, that means that they're a nurse down. They can't use her. And that creates extra stress on staff members. And really, I'm going to laugh when I say this, but this is a battle of attrition, which is just like the loss of resources at some point, which is what Italy was getting to, is that they have to pick and choose who they're going to live, right?
Yeah.
They have to make these hard ethical decisions. At one point, they actually stopped treating anyone over the age of 60 in Italy.
Wow.
And that's not the place we want to get to. And I think people are like, they're waiting to say, okay, now it's time to worry. Instead of saying like, let's get to a place where we don't have to worry. I think people are waiting just too long. And if at the end of the day, we get a minimal amount of people who die from this, or a minimal amount of people that are sick, that's really good.
Yeah.
I think people are waiting till it gets really bad to start saying like, okay, we should care. But that's at that point, it's too late.
I don't think here in America, I don't think we're going to get to a point where, hey, you're 60, you know, in 3 months, we're not going to be providing service for you. I don't think that's going to happen here. If you know anything about Italy, I've heard a lot of stuff about Italy and their healthcare system. It's really cruddy. It's like a kind of a socialist healthcare system. Sure. Kind of the Italian joke is like, you go to the hospital, die. I've heard that for years. And so, I think they have other issues beyond what was happening with the coronavirus and the age. And, you know, like, I think like 150% of the people in Italy smoke and make meatballs. And
absolutely.
So I think there's a lot of factors that go into a lot of these different cases.
Absolutely.
And then you break it down individually. So it's hard to paint with a broad brush, you know, so I'm not living in fear, but I'm also, you're cautious.
Right.
You don't want to go crazy and kind of ruin your life, you know?
The part that is bothersome to me is when people live in ditches, right? So nobody wants to walk like the middle line here and just say, let's not go hoarding toilet paper and buying up everything that we see in sight.
Yeah.
But let's also let's also not treat this like it's a joke, because at the end of the day, in the United States, we have 9,000 people who have died. Actually, closer to 10,000 people who have died from this. And I'm looking at, these are brand new statistics. I'm looking at them right now. There was 1,100 more deaths in 24 hours in the United States alone. And that number is going to go up. In fact, my wife actually just shouted from the other room, like, so she took care of somebody who was in their 30s who died.
Wow.
And they can't put on there that this person died of COVID-19 because the test takes 4 to 14 days to get back. So you these numbers aren't even really true. They're not really true. So these are conservative numbers.
Yeah. Then you hear reports though, like, you know, like the lieutenant governor from, do you have coronavirus?
No, it's allergies. Are you not? It's allergies.
You have a fever?
No, I'm all good.
Okay. Get some water, because we're on a podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So like the lieutenant governor from some, like in Maryland, I think he lied about a patient that, like, an infant patient. So I mean, like, maybe some numbers are being skewed one way and some numbers are being skewed the other way. You just never know. That's why, I mean, back to our talk about the media, you never know what's going on. So
I know it's just so frustrating, but at the end of the day, like, we have 336,000 cases. In Italy, there is only 128,000 cases. And we've had this probably for a shorter period of time. And these are updated numbers. There's no news media source. This is just a ticker of confirmed cases.
Yeah, but I think Italy's like a third of the size of Texas. So just keep that in mind.
Of course. Yeah. And I'm not saying
it's like talking to a Dr. Fauci talking to you. You got all these statistics. It's pretty impressive.
I don't even know who that guy is. So I can't even give you the pleasantries of laughing at that joke, except his name was kind of funny.
He's the guy that's actually heading the task force on, like, what's going on with our.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I mean, maybe you should watch like 2 minutes of the news. You might know who he is.
I know who you're talking about. I just didn't know that was his name. But, like, I'm not living in fear. At the end of the day, like, the part that's really frustrating is, like, one of my neighbors was like, at this point, I kind of holding to the theory that the cure is actually worse than the disease, as in, like, more people are going to die or their lives are going to suffer because of lack of resources or lack of finances because of the economy.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to go there, because at the end of the day, like, if we can prevent deaths, then we should do that. And to just kind of turn a blind eye because they're older or whatever the case, or they have comorbidities, I think is a bad place to land.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of complications along with every statistic that everybody throws out on either side. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's confusing. You could tell Lauren that we did hear her yell from the other room.
Lauren, they heard your comment about finding out if people have.
Yeah. It wasn't even a laugh. Yeah. It was yelling. She was yelling at us. And just tell her, like, this is a worldwide podcast. I mean, like 10 countries. We don't need her yelling from the other room. Okay.
Okay. She'll get it.
Listen, I know you're not going to tell her that because you're afraid of her. But that's cool, because I don't want you to tell her, because I don't want her to be mad at me either.
Oh, too late.
Nope. Oh, gosh. Dang it, really? No. That's a good way to end it. Hey, Colin, thanks for checking in and with all of your stats. And it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's a good thing that your wife works in the healthcare system, so she knows all the updated numbers and stuff. So
I'll tell you what, those people really are heroes. They absolutely are.
No, they're good. Yeah. They're working. They're busting their butts. I appreciate that. And just, you guys stay well, stay safe, and
thanks for checking in.
Drink water. No, wait, hold on. What do I say? I say, wash your hands often, drink water regularly. I can't say that word.
Regularly?
What is that word? Is it that word?
Regularly.
Say it regularly, Larry.
Yeah.
And then love always.
Love always, baby.
Yeah. Well, I love you. Thanks for checking in. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely.
Okay, see ya.
Bye-bye.
Well, that wraps up this episode of the Move the Beans podcast. Thanks to the boys, Kyle, Phil, Jim, and Colin. Glad that they are doing well and adjusting to kind of the new temporary normal as we know it. And I know they'll be fine and they'll continue to move the beans in all areas. Thank you so much for listening. If you could do me a favor and give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform that you're listening to, that really, really helps out the podcast. I really do appreciate it. So until next time, folks. Thanks so much, and keep on moving the beans. Bye-bye now.